Welcome to the bonus episode of this month's Philosopha Talk, here with your MC, CJ, and...
E.T. Mike, coming down from another planet. How you guys doing today?
You gotta be from another planet. Where the hell did you come up?
All right. Hey, man, listen, dude. I'm slowly coming back to Earth. Here we go. Okay, all right, I landed. How you guys doing?
Yeah.
It's Mike. Now I'm terrestrial Mike.
You're now your terrestrial Mike. All
right. Oh, man. When's that going to end, guys, right?
So, we're going to philosophize about aliens today.
Yeah, aliens.
That's a pretty prevalent subject in the metaphysical community and the cryptid community.
It's an interesting topic, right?
It is thought-provoking.
Yeah.
And it also makes you confused about other people.
It's like, are you an alien?
Well, like, when other people look at me and they're like, aliens do not exist. And I'm like, how? How do they not exist? Like, do you acknowledge other planets? It's like when they ask the flat earthers, well, you know, we don't see you with any flat Mars theory. And they're like, well, we observe Mars to be round.
Yeah, and has certain shadows on it, or I guess however it looks in a telescope looks spherical. Right?
Or they look at you and they go, flat earthers also don't believe Australia exists. So what I want to know is what Australian flat earthers think.
You know, at the end of the day, man, maybe the Earth is flat. I guess that's another talk too, right? That's another interesting conversation.
It is definitely not.
Yeah, I entertain anything, even if it's 1%.
But we've got the pictures. They got the pictures.
Yeah, but do we?
They look like a potato. It's not a perfect sphere. It's like the Earth is actually shaped more like a potato, and it's got like a weird lump on the one side.
Well, it's definitely more elliptical in shape than spherical, but at least by a little bit. But at the end of the day, you know, if NASA is a power structure of knowledge, you know, and they can let us know whatever they want. And it's a known fact that they have taken, you know, pictures of just planets in general and photoshopped them. So it's like, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think the Earth's flat. I mean, that's another topic, but
observed so many celestial bodies out there, and every last one of them is at least somewhat round.
Yeah, but see, it all depends on your beliefs. Like, you know, I entertain the idea that we might be the only thing in the universe that's this intelligent. Like, and I'm involved in all types of stuff that does, like, well, me, you know, if you know me in life, or, you know, you're a listener of the show a lot, like, I don't like to hold beliefs so close to me that I don't borrow any other ideas or potential alternatives. Say, like, if I lean toward a certain idea, 99% or 99.9, I'll always leave, like, a little alleyway in there to entertain other thoughts. Just because, you know, I just want to get as close to truth as possible. But in terms of aliens, though, I definitely think, well, see, it's you know, it's subjective. Say, like, all right, we'll just say, like, an alien that's from somewhere else other than Earth, because we would be aliens to them. So other life forms other words that are not indigenous to Earth. There we go. I believe that they exist. But what about you?
I think they walk among us already.
That too.
I think they walk among us disguised as other humans.
That too. Yeah, well, that kind of goes into what are they called? This is off the fly. I'm trying to think of these names. The tall whites. The tall whites. They apparently have a picture of a tall white. You can go put it in a Google. Tall white. It comes up with, like, this girl with, like, bigger eyes, like silver or whitish hair or whatever. I mean, it might be most likely fake, but it's kind of nice to entertain the idea.
Well, all right, so I just totally shit all over flat earthers, and you're about to look at me crazy, but I buy Hollow Earth.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. I 100% buy Hollow Earth theory. I am convinced that the entrance to that is in the North Pole.
Freaking crazy, dude.
Yeah, if you go to Google Maps and you try to look at that, they have it completely blacked out. There's military. There's recordings of people who having flown over that.
All right, CJ has lost his mind, everybody. I'm kidding. No, there's definitely something going on up there for sure.
I'm fairly certain.
For sure.
It's supposedly, like there's a recording that they released. It was a pilot, and he saw it was like a two-mile-wide hole.
Yeah.
And they had him fly down into it, and, like, and all these things that he saw. And then after he leaves that hole, like, he saw beings down there. After he leaves that hole, suddenly every government in the world has a station at the North Pole. It's blacked out on Google's maps. And if you get anywhere near there, they turn you away or they kill you.
Is that fact?
That's fact. They will not let you anywhere near that hole.
I've definitely heard about something involving the North Pole and all that stuff. I just, like, the question is, like, what's going on there?
And then I believe it was Russia. I think it was Russia. But they dug this, like, ridiculous hole down into the ground. Crazy long hole. And dropped a microphone down there. And it sounded like, it returned. It sounded like someone giving...
Sounds from hell?
Yeah. The speech and the marching.
That's pretty much been debunked.
No, actually, maybe it's not what I'm talking about.
No, because there's like a Sounds from Hell where they like drop the microphone down into some hole and this and that. And they got these like crazy, quote unquote, hellish sounds. And like people are like burning and like agony. And, like,
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Okay. This one, it sounded like there was something speaking a language. It was giving a speech and like there was cheering.
What?
And then it sounded like a parade, like marching in a parade.
I've got to check that one out.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Okay, and what is that again?
What the hell is it called? I'd have to dig it back out. This dude used to hang out with all the time named Jared, showed it to me.
Shout out to Jared. What's up, man?
Yeah. Cause, I was experimenting. Like I had just read about Hollow Earth and he was real into Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
And he showed me all this stuff and like played the recordings and shit for me. And I was like,
interesting. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to look into the Hollow Earth thing a little bit more in the future. Yeah,
I was like, whoa, like it makes sense, but it's relevant. It's relevant because the idea is that aliens are what populate inside the Hollow Earth, and that's why like we don't see them very often, except for the ones that they put out here to interact with us. And occasionally they'll provide us technology. Like they're a highly advanced species, and they reside within the Hollow Earth structure. But once in a while, when they deem it necessary, they'll release a piece of technology to us. And that's why like we went from having like nothing. Like we went, what, 400,000 years or 200,000 years as a species of like using sticks and stones and like basic metal production. And then we hit the 20th century, and then halfway through the 20th century, all of a sudden, boom, now we have, technically we have flying cars. We carry computers in our pockets. And...
Well, that's a huge theory with how, you know, aliens could potentially interfere with our DNA. Because there was like a huge leap, like I think doubling the size of our brain, and technology and everything had occurred within such a short period of time out of nowhere, where we kind of essentially transformed from like some type of primate to like a human form, or like more like we are today. And a lot of people think like there's like some type of like, you know, a lot of people talk like the Anunnaki from a planet Nibiru, or like the original reptilian gods and this and that, or some type of like, even it's interesting because in Scientology, and I think they speak about that when you get real deep into it, like the Going Clear section, when you get like initiate into the deeper aspects of Scientology, and you learn about like the alien Xenu, who kind of came down here and created us. It's kind of like a slave race, I think, something along those lines, or we're, I don't know, some type of faults, some souls he sent out, some type of alien type intervention with how we came to be. And I mean, honestly, like I definitely give a lot of thought, I have given a lot of thought to the idea that we might be some type of genetically engineered species from aliens, because we're just so freaking different, dude.
I have a whole theory about it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Like a personal theory?
Yeah.
Is this something you can like speak about in a concise manner?
Yeah.
And what's the theory?
So, all right, you know we have these structures on the moon, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
That's sort of like a base, okay? There's like a moon base.
Uh-huh.
And similar to how the CDC works here, like, you know, like the CDC like contains diseases and whatnot and like keeps them contained.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part. Do I genuinely believe in this theory I'm about to give you guys? No, but it's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So... the idea is that aliens created us, started us in a little petri dish. They started working on this planet. They started with the dinosaurs, which were big, horrifying murder machines, but they were stupid and uncontrollable.
Okay.
So they download, they downsize, make us more intelligent, but make us controllable. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Give us that herd mentality. But really, we're like a weapon. Okay, so once in a while, when there's some sort of intergalactic need to completely wipe out another planet, they show up here, take a couple of us, and go deposit us on this other world and do what you do. Be human beings. you'll destroy that entire planet in X number of years. You are a disease.
Man, I could not imagine that.
Okay, but there's a reason behind this, right?
Yeah.
So, have you ever seen the movie The Matrix? Like, they kind of, like, touch a little bit on that. Like, what do? We procreate, we overtake, we waste, and we destroy, whether we mean to or not, right? And that's just our nature. That's how we are as human beings. We're wasteful, we're destructive.
I guess it depends who you are.
Yeah, but I mean, look at it as a whole. We have an entire vortex in our ocean right now that's just garbage, and they call it Garbage Island.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just an unfortunate side effect.
Yeah.
And
that's
society.
Just us being human.
Yeah.
But here's my other thing. On some level, all humans enjoy killing shit. Whether it's animals, we hunt for sport.
Mm-hmm.
We hunt for food. We will mount the things we kill on the wall. We will put them on the floor and we will brag about them. We will kill each other in war. We'll brag about that. People, you know, acclaimed snipers will maintain their body count. You know, I mean, it messes you up psychologically on some level. But even in the most mundane levels, your significant other calls you because there's a spider in the bathroom. You run in there and you kill that bad boy.
You know, I think it all really depends on who you are. I don't think I fall under any of these categories. You know?
Well, I mean, there's always the exception to the rule.
Yeah, for sure.
But as a whole, humans like killing shit. And it's what we do. Right? So we're destructive. We're destructive by nature. We plague stuff. We're parasites. Like, and we kill stuff. We're kind of a weapon.
Yeah, we definitely can be a weapon.
And they take us, they deposit us on other worlds, and they go, just do what humans do, and they leave. And we do what humans do, and we destroy that planet, which could also be why Mars is the way it is today. There's theories that we started there, and aliens brought us to Earth.
Yeah.
That could have been a test. Like, let's see what they do to this. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
put them over here.
Yeah, there's pyramids on Mars and everything.
Yeah.
There's like I think it was like the face on the moon, little face they found. I mean, it's probably maybe subjective structure or whatever, or some type of mound that looks like a face, of course.
And then they always give us a physical before they decide if we're selected to go to these other worlds, and that's why some of us get returned. You know,
yeah, it's an interesting theory.
Like those rednecks that are like missing half their teeth and stuff. They come back and they're like, and I guarantee the aliens are like, we gave him the physical. We checked him out. We even looked in his butt. We have no idea why he functions. Put him back. We don't like that one.
You know, I just couldn't imagine getting like taken up by a UFO for one, you know, interacting with other entities that aren't human, on such a physical level.
And then having them use us as a biochemical weapon?
Yeah, I mean, not only would that be, like, some of the most traumatizing events of my entire life, I would believe, maybe not, but, I mean, I know a lot of people who claim to be abducted, they've been pretty freaking traumatized by it, which I can only imagine.
But then
we get dropped off at some random world.
Sure.
And we're completely alien to it, no pun intended.
But we have an instinct to survive.
Yeah, I know, but just like I just wonder... No, it's a good theory. I'm not saying it's a good theory. I'm just saying, like, I wonder if that happened to me, like, holy shit, I'd be like, I would be so traumatized. Like, I don't even know how to function.
Right. Like, I mean,
I don't even know how to function, dude.
I imagine that there's probably a period where you're like, WTF.
Dude, like, literally imagine yourself, you know, taken by UFO and then just get dropped off in a whole mm-hmm. new world. Mm-hmm. You're alone. Mm-hmm. You can't connect to anything. Maybe the environment's different. You're seeing things you've never seen before. You're engulfed in it, and you're seeing entities and beings who might be bigger or smaller or weirder. Like, how the brain can comprehend that. Like, man, dude, that would be the worst thing in the world.
That's also why, like, one of my big theories is why they don't take us from major cities. Because we have these big urban lifestyles. You lose that aspect of humanity, that instinctual survival.
Yeah.
Like, we have the instinct to survive, but when you live in, you spend your whole life in an urban setting, you lose the knowledge. So, like, they go to these, like, boofu areas, and they're like, the guy that's been sitting in the tree for 7 hours and not breathing, take him.
Yeah, you know, this, like, in terms of all that, like, I don't know, I definitely believe aliens are real. And in terms of, like, the evidence that we have, I mean, We don't have the most substantial evidence of all time, but there's definitely a lot of weird things that have happened with aliens in general, with you know, documentation and things along those lines. The government had Project Blue Book, which you can actually purchase and buy. You know, mm-hmm. all the documents, like all the weird anomalies and things they were experiencing in the sky at the time. Of course, they wrote it under, you know, Project Blue Book. That was the project name. And so there's that. I think there was something. I think there was something involved with the certain space trips that they went to the moon or something like that. Like certain, some of the recordings, they're speaking about how they saw things in the air flying out there. In the transcripts. And I think that they quote unquote lost the transcripts.
If anybody's wondering, I don't actually believe in that theory altogether.
It was just something to entertain, right?
It was,
we don't know.
It was just like a thought pattern I had one day, and it was like, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. It's kind of like putting pieces to a puzzle together, but the puzzle's like, not fully put together, but it could be put together.
I mean, I celebrate killing stuff in video games, but like, I don't really hunt. I mean, I do some fishing. I don't really like.
Fishing's fun because it's meditative.
I don't really like the killing part of the fish. I'm not a big fan of that part. I would do it, but I don't really enjoy it. I like eating them.
I think if we were like kind of like back in a tribal society or whatever. Well, first off, I think it's best to hunt. Period. If you're gonna eat meat, best to hunt. If you're gonna eat fish, probably best to fish, or at least, you know, get wild caught or whatever. Because just the farm raised stuff is terrible. It's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's decent for
you. It's pretty bad.
It's better than eating McDonald's, but it's like these fish are in like tanks, and the ammonia and like the shit that they have, and the urine, all the stuff. Like they eat it and they absorb it, and they have to color the fish a certain color to make it look like the actual salmon color and that you get in the wild. So it's just kind of an illusion, and But yeah, anyway, hunting, whatever. That's a whole other side of the story. Because all, you know, all the factory stuff, they torture these animals in such terrible conditions. So it's just, and I think a normal society, like if you're hunting, it's just it can be like very spiritual to kill something, really embrace it, you know, be thankful, you know, give thanks to the animal, take it home, you know, like you have the animal that serves you, you can feed your family that for a long time. And I guess it's a whole other side, whole other digression, but
yeah, the idea isn't like that.
Anyways,
that all humans like killing things.
No, definitely not. I mean, I'm one of them. If I see a bug, dude, I'll put that thing outside.
I will kill the hell out of lantern flies.
I don't think I've killed one of those yet. I chill with those guys. Yeah, no, I don't kill those things.
I definitely murder them. Because they murder my garden every year, but
that's a whole other side of the story. I'm not saying it's wrong to do it. I just haven't had a reason to do it.
Yeah, I prize my cucumbers. They're the size of my forearm every year until lantern flies show up, and then they're the size of dill pickles. Like,
oh man,
baby dills.
Freaking like, want pickles? You're freaking about cucumbers,
dude,
man.
I hate those bugs so much.
They're beautiful though. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, they're gorgeous, and then they bite you in the neck and stuff. Like,
they don't bite, do they?
Oh, they totally bit my mom.
What?
We were out walking around killing them and stuff off the trees and whatnot because they're damaged. We have some neighbors around here who have really beautiful grapevines and everything. And if anybody, any avid gardeners out there know that a good grapevine takes years to grow.
Oh, really?
This is not something you do in a season. Like, cultivating a good grapevine with a solid stem takes years.
Wow.
Of work. If you have a 20-year-old grapevine, like, it's probably just hit its prime.
Wow.
Like, it's a lot of work, and these lantern flies destroy those things, but we kill the hell out of them.
In that case, it makes sense. I mean, you kind of look up for your own stuff, too.
One bit my mom in the neck and made, like, probably a half-dollar size welt.
Wow. What the heck?
Yeah. They don't bite. I've seen them bite.
Wow.
Well,
I'm definitely not going to touch those anymore. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, aliens, man, like, I've had personal experiences we'll get into in a little bit.
Wait, like, you met one?
A few. No. I mean, in terms of like seeing UFOs,
I got excited.
Man, you met? Yeah, man. If I saw one, yeah, I'd probably be on PTSD meds. I mean, if I shouldn't be on those already.
I saw a UFO once.
Yeah. I think I've seen many, but I've definitely seen one 100% with my mom. But I guess I might as well talk about that now. That this one specific UFO that I saw that was 100% fact without a doubt. I had just got done with like a baseball game at a little league. I was like maybe 11 or 12 years old or so, maybe something along those lines. I was with my mom. We were done with the game. Just got done eating my hot dog after the game, you know, ready to go home. Before I got my hot dog and my drink or whatever I had or whatever the time, Gatorade, I think, I saw this thing in the distance between a couple trees, and it looked kind of like a cigar-shaped thing and some lights or whatever on it. And in the distance. And I kind of noted it in my mind, didn't really think too much of it. Just thought it was like slightly peculiar. And so yeah, we ate, you know, got done eating, drinking, this and that, maybe 10 minutes or so, somewhere along those lines. And we were all done. So me and my mom started walking back to the parking lot, and I look up at the sky and I see that thing there still. I'm like, what the heck is that thing? And I show my mom, like, Molly, look, I'm like, Molly, what is this thing over here? And we're looking at this thing, and it's like hovering. Said that there's like two trees in the distance. And in between the tree, there's this like cigar shaped, this is black thing, cigar shaped, and with like white lights going around the middle of it, like white circular lights going around the middle of it in a counterclockwise motion. And it was the strangest thing, man. And it made no sound. There was no sound whatsoever. It was hovering there forever. I mean, it was just strange. And then we were looking at it, and it was like almost as if the thing knew we were like looking at it. Like, I don't know. It was a weird 5 minutes that we were looking at this thing, or a couple minutes we were looking at this thing. And we were looking at this thing, and it's slanted to the left a little bit, and it moved to the left. And then it went back to its normal position. I mean, just as being like flat, like cigar, like it stopped tilting. So it was on like more toward the left, like kind of next to the left tree, and it just started hovering there. It stayed there for a little bit. Then it kind of slanted to the right a little bit, and it slowly started drifting to the right a little bit, and stopped between the right tree a little bit over there, and it went back to its normal position. And then it tilted to the left a little bit after it stayed on the right a little bit, and hovered back toward the middle, and it stayed in the middle. And with my mom was there the whole time watching this thing, and within the next couple minutes, this UFO thing literally started like disintegrating before my eyes. It didn't change shape, it didn't change size at all, it didn't change anything. It's not like it was like moving away or like drifting away or going or moving farther away. The thing literally started becoming, from like normally opaque, like an object, it literally started like becoming more and more translucent.
Like an active camouflage?
You know, I don't know, maybe. I don't know exactly what really happened. I kind of took it as if it just warped out of existence. Like it just ascended to a different dimension or something, which gets to my other theories later, but like, or ideas, but like this thing literally started becoming translucent, or, you know, essentially like it just became a little bit more see-through, and slowly became more refined and then became transparent, and then slowly just kind of disintegrated out of existence. And it was kind of like, it took like maybe a couple minutes, like 3 minutes or so. It was a slow process, but like the thing literally was gone, and like it made no sound, it had the same look, everything like that. Like I said, it didn't change shape, size, nothing. And this happened once we were looking at it for like 5 minutes. Like it didn't, like this thing could have done that earlier, could have done it later. And like we were looking at it, and then it started doing this stuff. So like it was weird, and it was very strange. Like I went home, you know, drew it, talked about it, this and that. Even to this day, it was one of the most weirdest experiences I've ever had in terms of that. But like,
but you had like a really extended experience.
Yeah, it was strange.
That's pretty cool, though.
It was very memorable. It was very, very weird, dude. Especially, it was like the stereotypical UFO. Like, it's just a cigar with the white lights going around the middle of it. Like, it was the most stereotypical UFO I've ever seen.
Mine was less than a minute long.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, that was just, it was long. It was weird, man. I'm lucky to see it. I don't know if it was some type of normal aircraft or maybe some. I'm pretty sure there was no clouds that got in the way of this thing. It literally just slowly started disintegrating. Mm-hmm. Like, it was gone. I didn't see it anymore. I didn't see any clouds around it either.
It's pretty interesting.
It's weird. Yeah, it's very strange. Like, no sounds.
Like, maybe it was like a superior race just, like, keeping an eye on us? Or,
you know what I think? And there's a lot of theories out there, like, I'm sure this is one I think is probably one of the theories, but you know, I personally think that they're like interdimensional species, at least some of them, and they have like there's like books of different kinds. Like there's like the Arcturians, or like there's like the Greys, and there's the Tall Whites, like we had mentioned earlier, and there's all these things, and there's theories.
The Greens, the Green Dwarfs.
Yeah. Yeah, and some look like humans, mm-hmm. very, very much similar to humans. Others kind of look like those stereotypical ones you see in the movies, and all those that are so prominent. But I just think they're like interdimensional species that are of a higher vibration than us, and they might lessen their frequency of their vibration in order to descend down into this plane of existence, to interact with this plane of existence, and to interact with us, maybe to keep an eye out for us, to aid in our evolution. I think some of them are spiritual entities that are higher vibration. Maybe we might even become them in a next life if we ascend. Or we align our frequencies with a certain spectrum. We might even go to their dimension or another dimension. It's a whole other topic. But that's just why I think they're interdimensional entities that, you know, they kind of use these crafts in order to like manipulate physics, because on their plane they can manipulate their environment so much more differently. Say if you're on a higher frequency plane of existence, a higher refined plane of existence, you might have less matter. We have a lot of matter down here. It's a very dense plane. I kind of view existence in general as like a layer of onions on the outside of source, and then like we live in a dense plane, so there's more room for suffering here. There's more room for there's more persistence that we have to have against the resistance of nature and the elements. There's more struggle. There's more strife. There's more breakdowns of things. Things wear off. Things wear away. We have to replace things. There's, you know, our environment's very, very malleable and can disintegrate a lot. There's a lot of room for destruction and suffering on this plane. And I kind of feel like there's planes that are lesser than this with more room for suffering and less a capability to influence nature and your environment to your liking. Say like here, we everything's energy manipulation. Mm-hmm. You know, all the technology we have, it's manipulation of energy or the elements.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. It's like the concept of enlightenment. Like you raise your vibration as you become enlightened, and it moves you into the next plane. And it's makes sense a lot. Like maybe like when we, you know, pass on or we move to the next plane or we become more enlightened than our own selves, we become those aliens that possess that ability to observe us at a lower vibration. It makes a lot of sense what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an idea. And continuing my overall theory, they say like the lower vibrational planes will have more density, more suffering, less environmental control, which would be kind of equivalent to hells or lesser hells on the spectrum, you know, because heaven and hell might be part of the degrees, just like hot, cold, you know, black, white, this, that, up, down, all these things that are part of like spectrum. So then like maybe like the higher levels of existence, the higher vibrational planes, which we have equated to heaven or heavens, you know, different religions talk about like seven heavens, 10 heavens, this heaven, you know, they could be like different vibrational planes that we might ascend to. And I believe that you can do these things based off your action, your will, and your intent, which through your actions and your will and intent on a given plane will alter your frequency of your actual aura or entity. And I kind of see existence and reality itself as like one grand circuit board inside the mind of God. So like wherever, on like a circuit board, like a certain like electrical force, which will be your soul, once it leaves a certain node, will travel on a certain line and go to another node. And that depends on the actual reality level of existence, depending on your frequency or vibration. Mm. So if you alter your frequency and your vibration based off your intent and your will and your actions and your thoughts, it'll alter the vibration of your spirit, quote unquote, or being, which then once you die, you perish from this mode of existence. Depending on the vibrational rate that you set yourself in, you're going to align yourself with the next plane dependent on that. And if you reach higher planes of existence, then you're going to be more of a refined entity. There's less matter. It might be a more emotional plane. It might be something that you might feel instead of physically feel. It might be less physical suffering and more maybe mental or mind suffering, and maybe on those higher planes, it's a lot more energy based. You can see energy a lot better. You can see the mechanics that are kind of occulted here on the physical plane, which is why we call it the occult, because things are hidden. We're using forces that are hidden, not so readily available. So you have to train yourself to interact with these things. Where on the higher planes, they're so available that it's almost natural and everything can interact with these things. And on the higher planes of existence, you might be able to morph your environment a lot more easier with your mind instead of a physical vessel. It might take a lot more time that we have time down here. And time in a higher plane of existence might be a lot more faster than down here. So with that type of theory in mind, I think that if these things are just from a higher level of reality that are somehow manipulating the frequency of their being or their vessel or the UFO, whatever it is, and somehow coming down here to the third dimension somehow knowingly where we're at or other lives are at, and just kind of warping down here some type of mental mode and interacting with us, maybe kind of say like you're on this plane of existence, we'll have like masters and students or teachers and students, things along those lines, like, or guides or spirit guides or just a guide or whatever, like maybe they're kind of our spiritual guide behind the scenes, behind the veils, that are kind of helping ascend us or push us in certain directions or making sure that we're okay in times of extreme strife. Like there's like this one story where they're about to set this bomb off, or they're about to shoot this missile to start a war or something like that, or during a war, and there was an interference by some type of UFO that stopped it from working, which would be an act of war on this plane of existence, like human terms. But there is a force. I think there's like a UFO or some type of extraterrestrial thing that stopped it from going off.
Mm.
So that was an interference with this. But at the same time, I definitely think that there's a spectrum of what we would consider bad or darker forces on certain planes that might be higher than us too, but still can manipulate energy to come down here, which is why we might have, you know, stories of aliens, you know, doing weird things to us or that might appear more hostile, you know, so... But it's all theories, you know. It might sound crazy, but at the end of the day, you know,
it really doesn't.
Who knows?
It really doesn't. So, like, because it would make a lot of sense for the whole concept of travel. Like, we don't possess the ability to travel faster than light.
Mm-hmm.
It's as far as we understand within physics, it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is like the ones that are coming here, or maybe they walk among us, or anything like that. They're traveling from these higher planes of existence. So then. Other planets that would be populated by, say, other beings would be like a similar situation to us then, and they would be visited by these same beings. Or...
Yeah, and kind of like how it's like really hard to raise a vibration on this plane. Say, mm-hmm. like it's like if you want to ascend your spiritual path or you want to ascend your vibration, you have to like do shadow work, you know, integrate yourself, like become more conscious, become more aware, expand your consciousness, understand nature, understand energy. Like it's a long process to really, really, really ascend in the right direction. So to speak, you know, these are all ascend, all these terms, whatever you want to call it, increase your vibration, whatever you want to call it.
Because it does make sense. It
takes a lot of work. But say mm-hmm. if you've already gone to a higher plane of existence, I feel it'd be easier to downgrade. Say it'd be easier to lessen your vibration because you can manipulate your environment, your energy so much better on a higher plane of existence. Like say, like you might even be light. You might even be a lot more closer to actual what light is on a higher vibrational plane of existence where it's vibrating so fast, like the environment is not so, quote unquote, doesn't have such the illusion of separation. And it might be able to manipulate it so much easier with mind. It might be closer to mind and less mm-hmm. closer to body. So maybe you can, with that mind, almost as like maybe like the fall of Adam, like how you like, or like coming into human form through material, going through all the elements and arriving here on a solid, compact figure as a human being. Maybe like right when you rise upon the planes, you become more mind and less being. And maybe you can like lessen yourself easier that way to go to a lesser dimension and like time, location, you know, the universe, quote unquote, is like so big. You know what I mean? So maybe it would just, maybe the mind would be able to tap into this illusion of location so much easier from a higher plane of existence. Whereas, you know, maybe if they existed within our own universe, it might be so much more harder and by chance that they would stumble across us, which I don't know, like seeing that UFO disintegrate in front of me like that, it's like, where did it go? Like, where did it go?
I mean, it's kind of,
it looked like it was like raising its frequency and just disintegrated out of this domain. Like, I don't know.
It's kind of an interesting thought because there are theories out there that say like the reason, like we don't really see, like people like ships aren't just like landing here and like interacting with us and like on public television, like is that with life of a planet and, you know, different celestial activities such as asteroids hitting a planet or other planets colliding, supernova stars, black hole effects and things like that, that a system of existence doesn't live long enough for the beings to develop the technology that would allow them intergalactic travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be that too.
So which makes that's sense. Like if we idea. Have like, so we have like Earth and then there's like another habitable planet elsewhere and they've got people and things like that, or beings or whatever they've got going on there. And then like you have these ascended beings who are able to lower their vibrations and mm-hmm. visit us and maybe try to educate us in a way or provide us tools that should educate us. Because if you think about it, you know, if we go back to like what I said, like with humans who, you know, we like killing stuff, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
200,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago, 50,000 years ago, medieval ages, we really liked killing stuff and each other.
Yeah, it was a little more barbaric, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, these beings came, they provided us some of the technology we had, the technology explosion, and kind of opened us up to, like, a spiritual enlightenment in a way. It made us docile. More docile, less prone to murder. I mean, there's still a very large portion of us out there who will kill each other very, very quickly. There are islands that if you even approach them, the first thing they do is kill you.
I know, yeah. There's still tribes out there, yeah.
So,
little tribes.
I mean, like, I don't actually buy that whole theory that that was just a what-if theory. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it wasn't something like I was sitting there and I was like, yeah, this is what I believe. Like, it was just like, yeah, this is kind of an idea. And I was bored at work and I needed to entertain myself. So...
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes sense in a way. And the other idea, and something that, like, I never really thought about it the way you talked about it, and I'm going to be thinking about that for a while now.
Yeah, I've always viewed existence like this grand circuit board and, like, frequency and vibration, how you align with something. And, you
it
know,
just
like,
makes
it's,
sense. Like,
it's just
like,
how I've always intuitionally seen it in my mind, like, how existence on a higher level would be, or just
when it
comes
to like the principles and everything, as above, so below.
Yeah, as above, so below. Yeah,
you know, things like that. So,
yep.
So, I mean, in a way, that makes sense. The other thing that I was thinking about, like, my own alien experience, UFO experience.
Yeah.
Nowhere near as interesting as yours, honestly. I was sitting at a traffic light in a car with this dude Nick.
Yeah.
And I looked out, and we were near this grocery store. This grocery store is called Giant. And we looked out, and I'm looking above Giant. I'm like, Nick, do you see this thing? He's looking, he's like, what is that? And it was like not a bronze color, not really like a brass color. It was kind of like a beige metallic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you had like a pair of khaki pants, it was that color, but it was metallic.
Okay.
And it was more spherical. Okay. And it was just above the Giant. And then it was gone.
Interesting.
It was just there. It wasn't like spinning, at least... It wasn't spinning in a way that I could perceive.
Yeah. So it's spherical.
And then it was gone. Just like that.
It was just gone.
It was just gone. Like, I blinked and it was gone.
Wow.
That's
definitely interesting.
But I have a theory behind that, too. Say the scientists are wrong and that a culture does exist, like a species does exist long enough to develop the technology that allowed an intergalactic transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling at the speed of light wouldn't make sense. Because of time relativity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you travel away from your home planet at the speed of light, you know, if you were 15 years old when you left and you traveled 5 years at the speed of light, you'd be 20 years old. But if you came back, everybody like who is your age, like your 15-year-old friends that you left behind would be 65 years old by the time you came back. And like, that's time relativity.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to travel at the speed of light if you have the intention to return home. Because what are you coming home to? Nothing. An entire existence that it's alien to you at that point. You're coming home to aliens. We may not even look the same.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I really thought about that aspect too, so, like traveling like that. Plane.
I mean, we even experienced that with astronauts that like go out and then they come back. Their watches are always like a couple of seconds behind and whatnot. So we know time relativity is a thing. So it doesn't make sense to travel at the speed of light. But if we possess a quantum engine that is able to superposition a large craft, because like right now, like we know that they're like with our available technology, there's a size limit to what we're able to superposition, and we haven't found what that size limit is yet. But we haven't gotten past like molecule scale size, But we know superposition is a thing. We're able to do it in a lab. Like it works, we know, but we don't know how big it could be. So the idea would be that they've developed this engine that works on a quantum level to superposition very large objects and put them in an object in a space at the same time. So like say, just for point reference, Mars, right? You start out at Mars, you fire up the engine, and it superpositions you into a spot on Earth. Now, when you observe a superposition particle, that wave collapses, and it comes in a single path. So you would observe it at Earth, and bam, it would collapse, and you would be on Earth. Like, it's sort of like an instant transmission, in a way.
Okay, yeah.
I had a friend named Persian That was his online name. He visited us once, and he's actually a physicist. He's a very smart guy, and he kind of explained us how that would work in. So space in itself actually behaves as a flat plane. Don't get excited, flat earthers. I'm not on your side.
It's kind of like the electromagnetic field or whatever.
Well, I don't really know the intricacies of it, but space in itself behaves as this flat plane. And the reason Earth isn't just like willy-nilly flying all kinds of directions around the sun in its gravitational field or whatever is because Earth sinks into that flat plane, and then that's manipulated by gravity, which the electromagnetic force and whatever. So the idea is also that you could use that flat plane and fold it like an accordion, which would allow you to move from one space to another instantly and unfold it, which would also require a different type of quantum engine. And then that's like a theory of space travel that would make sense because you would be completely bypassing the idea of time relativity. So leaving Earth and then with the idea of returning then makes sense because your people, you would still be, I mean, maybe you'd experience like a sort of subtle time shift, but like it wouldn't be decades of difference. You wouldn't come back to geriatrics. You know?
yeah, everyone's antiques.
yeah, yeah. And then, like, it sort of kind of falls in with, like, the idea of wormhole travel. Like, we know that wormholes exist, but they don't exist long enough. They collapse onto themselves. And they have this new theory out now where you can use a black hole, connect a wormhole to it, and send data of that black hole to simulate another black hole. And this is the idea that there's a space within a black hole. So there's two schools of thought that there once you're sucked into a black hole, there's non-existence and matter ceases to exist within the black hole.
Singularity.
Yeah. And then there's the other one where there's an actual pocket of space within the black hole, and you should technically be able to retrieve information from it. So the idea is that you would attach a wormhole to this black hole, which would utilize an information which would stabilize the wormhole, but it would mimic the black hole on the other side. Now, because you've mimicked that black hole on the other side, that black hole doesn't actually suck in. It actually ejects that information that the current black hole. So the idea is you use this wormhole connected to the black hole, mimic the other black hole on the other side. It's connected by this wormhole in this crescent loop. The information goes into one and it comes out the other, right? Instantaneously. And it also defeats the purpose of time relativity as well.
That was a nice sound, by the way. That depicted that really well. But yeah, no, that's some stuff they don't teach us in school. That's some weird stuff, right? At least those ideas.
Dude, I get so bored and I read some of the weirdest science stuff. And like, I don't understand everything that I read, but I understand enough of it that I can get the gist of what they're talking about. It's like, woo!
Yeah, like I've read a bunch of quantum physics and physics stuff or whatever in my time, but yeah, I haven't come across that one yet. Yeah, black holes are very fascinating in general. Yeah, that's another interesting theory.
I like yours better though. To be completely honest.
Oh, I appreciate. I mean, it's just like I don't know. I mean, it's just all speculation, but it's kind of like using logic with abstraction. You know, kind of like you conjoining the left and right hand hemispheres of the brain. I'm trying to like put together a lot of I intuitively thought of that like a long time ago. Like it just came to me. Like I wrote it down on a piece of paper. Like a lot of I have so many writings at home of things that I feel are like transmitted to me.
What if it's
whether it's schizophrenia or psychosis or whatever you want to call it, but pretty sure I'm intact overall.
What if it's both things? Like when
we
experience
there's infinite, right? There's like an infinite.
We experience beings that possess these higher technologies that allows them to instantly travel without the effects of time relativity, and then we have these entities that are able to manipulate their vibrations in a way.
Maybe it's both.
From the ascended space.
Yeah.
I feel like that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
And that's how we experience like spirit guides and the concept of deities. Like if a deity appears to you, maybe that's an ascended being, like, and maybe they do possess some, I guess on the third dimension, like where we're at, it would be considered a supernatural ability.
Yeah.
You know, for either creation or some sort of manipulation of something. Like if you look at the, Orisha and whatnot within Santeria.
Santeria,
like
yeah.
Talked about it before, like, and they have these like different abilities and whatnot, and maybe they're able to do that. They lower their vibration, and that brings their a physical body into existence here, mm-hmm. and we're experiencing that sort of alien.
Yeah, it kind of maybe goes from like a force to a form, mm-hmm. like the more dense, you know, you go, the more forms you're gonna have, and the higher you go, the more it's more of like a force, more of a force of mind or a force of consciousness.
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
is maybe so, why different entities or beings kind of manifest differently, or a bit depending on how you might want to view them. You know, so, like, it's not always universal. I don't know.
If we go off of that idea, though, like we have these transitional beings, these ascended beings that lower their vibrations and come here, or we have these other beings who are physically alive within our third dimension, mm. and they've got the technology to travel without experiencing the, you know, the swing back of the pendulum.
Yeah, yep.
Because I mean, that's what it is.
It is.
Yep. You know, they're able to get above that. They'd be a very inept society.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They would just be like natural adepts.
So know? Like, where do you think like these different classes of, because we have various classes of aliens get described across our planet. The grays are like the most common. Like,
they're... yeah. Well, this comes into an interesting idea. Well, real quick, I want to touch upon in terms of like the theories of things. Bob Lazar. Anyone who's listening, who's been heavy into the UFOs or aliens, hopefully you've heard of Bob Lazar. If not, he's a fascinating guy. One of the most fascinating. The reason we know about The reason the term Area 51 became known was because of this man named Bob Lazar. He claims that he used to work at Area 51, and he has a book out. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast, talking about his whole story. He's a physicist himself. His story lines up almost 100% with actual reality, minus a couple things, but you know, there's always that. But overall, he's one of the most credible. Has some of the most credible UFO stories on that we have. He has his own documentary on YouTube. It's called Bob Lazar UFO. I forget what it's called. But, I mean, you can find it on Google, of course. But this guy is one of the most credible guys in the UFO world. And he spoke about how he used to work. I forget what section of Area 51, but he claims that he worked in areas of like reverse engineering UFOs and things along the lines. And that he might even have even potentially seen an alien in a room, but he's very honest. He says he's not 100% sure if that's what it really was, or maybe a prototype. Or he said he saw it at a glance, but he has diagrams of what the UFOs looked like, what they're like, what they look like on the inside. It's like kind of like basic and plain to some degree. It's just kind of like simple. They're the refined spacecrafts, and that they had these crashed aircrafts, and they even had older ones in Roswell or whatever, and that he worked on back engineering UFOs, and it's fascinating stuff, especially how much detail and how much honesty and humility this guy seems to have with the stories. But he talks about this one element that the UFOs had within it, and the element was element 115. And Bob Lazar spoke about element 115 before it was made known to the public. And there's a big question as to if he actually has some at his house. And it seems like he actually does. But this element 115, he spoke about it before it became a publicly known thing, like I was saying. And eventually they came out and they said element 115 is real. And now it's on the periodic table. And I think it's a highly unstable element. Highly unstable. It has to be like kept under certain conditions, but it's because of this element 115 that these UFOs pretty much create a force field around their UFO. Say like the element 115 is in the center of the UFO, and it's pretty much the reason how they can zip from one part of the universe to the other and like instantaneously, because with this element 115, apparently, like I was saying, it creates like a force field around the UFO where pretty much gravity shuts down. Like it just negates gravity. And so, and then they point the UFO in a certain direction and they just shoot off and they're gone. And it's just like a force field and they just arrive where they're going because of this element. So this element is said to help manipulate, you know, the unified field or whatever, or space, and it should be able to transfer like instantaneously. So that's another idea. If they are in this physical universe, then that's one mode of, you know, of traveling according to this this idea. Which would make sense.
What if it's not that the aliens themselves are of And it's, I mean, they would have to be, because they would have to travel from the ascended plane. Maybe they're not able to manipulate their own vibrations in their physical body, but maybe they've created these crafts that are able to manipulate the vibration.
Yeah, maybe.
We think about we ascend, we transcend to the next plane, we exist within that plane, and we develop this technology where it can artificially control vibration and allow them to travel here.
Yeah, which would make sense, because like on a higher plane, you would have more control over your environment. So that could be an interesting idea. Yeah, maybe like all these are intertwined to some degree. You know, this is like getting some crazy rabbit holes, but you know,
entanglement at that point.
Yeah, it's wild. But coming back to what we were saying, in terms of the grays and stuff like that, I think I've read things before that these grays might not even be sentient. Like they might not even be conscious. That some of these grays and these UFOs are kind of like robotic tools. Maybe the other aliens from other places sent here, and that they're kind of just like robots, you know,
like carrying observers.
Yeah, like observers, and like they have like they're just
an organic robot.
Yeah,
that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, it's like some tool, you know. So that's weird, you know, if that's a thing. And there's also these weird things called like the McPherson tapes. I think you can watch either the actual tapes on YouTube or dramatization of the video. And the McPherson tapes are fascinating. It's like apparently this family was recording at a party at night at their house, and I think they saw something outside in the distance, and it looked like this UFO had landed, and like the lights were coming, and there was like these like weird beings that were walking off of it in the distance, and they were like, what's going on here, like. And they were recording, and they recorded these aliens like walking around, and eventually the aliens started coming to their house and like started like messing around with them, and like the aliens look fake in the video. I don't know what to think of it, but they're kind of widely known if you're heavy into the UFO world. It's interesting to watch regardless if they're real or not. It's very fascinating stuff, and they were like traumatized in this video, and it was so strange, it was so weird. And they eventually killed these aliens. No, I think the aliens eventually killed them, and they were carrying them away. Like one of the aliens got killed, I think, and the guy was like carrying it. So I don't know. The whole thing might be weird or fake, but that's just something to look into in this area of interest. But they were like gray like aliens. But another idea I have is that. Say like, oh well, you know, say if aliens like weren't real, or if aliens were real, like why would they put them in movies and all this stuff? Like why would they make it such a sci-fi thing? Well, you know, I kind of think, well, you know, there's always an agenda, and you always put truth in plain sight. So it's like, if maybe that's kind of like a psychop on the masses, that they have these like grays in the movies, and they make it so funny, or they're different, or like sci-fi and this and that. Like it's become such a normal, common thing that even they would never think it's real. Like they would never, like they kind of just sugarcoat it and just make it fun and weird, and just put it out there in the open so much to the point where like the stuff can't actually be real.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
It's gotta be real, man. Like we're aliens. Think about this for a second. We send out craft that goes to other worlds, enters their atmosphere, and deposits stuff on their land. Like, we have a rover on Mars right now.
Yeah.
We are literally aliens, and we will walk around here and say, aliens don't exist. We do the thing that we say don't exist.
Yeah, well,
we don't physically go there ourselves yet, but we send stuff there.
That's why I like to use the term extraterrestrial, because we're terrestrial, like we're from here, and like if you're not from here, you're extraterrestrial. I mean, the whole alien thing is kind of subjective, you know, but alien to Earth, for sure. Yeah, but at the same time, like maybe the whole thing is a ploy by the government, and they're staging some type of invasion in the future, and that's a power tool, and they're leading up to some power tool in the future, you know, to make a one world government security. You know, that's a theory out there too, I think.
You want to play a little game real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm gonna name a type of alien, and I want you to say whether you think it's a transcended being or a being from another world.
Okay, so from a different planet or a
like a different planet, like a terrestrial planet.
Okay,
so like either it's your theory of lowering the vibration and coming here because they've been a ascended enlightened being, right?
Yeah.
Or are they a being that just came here from another planet and they're kind of like us, living in the third dimension?
Okay.
All right, Grays.
I'm more inclined to say grays are from the third dimension.
Okay. Why?
Because they just, they seem like tools. If, I mean, I don't know if they're sentient. And if they're sentient, then they seem like a really lesser form of aliens compared to some of the ones I've seen or have heard about or could even conceptualize. Mm. So I guess with that in mind, I'd be more inclined to say that at the very least they're from a lower domain than higher.
Okay.
Although if I had to really choose an idea in general as to where they all come from, it would be from a higher dimension.
Okay.
Period. But if I had to choose potentially between both, I'd probably say in this instance, grays might be from the third dimension.
Okay.
Of course, I don't know shit. But...
Right. It's just a fun game.
Yeah, it's just a fun game.
Tall whites.
Definitely from a higher plane.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm kind of with you on that one.
Yeah, definitely from a higher plane. Like, and and there's just so many other types, different types too. It's just it's just a strange thing. The whole thing's strange, and it's also even stranger when they all have kind of human forms. Like, is that like just kind of how nature evolves on its own? Like, regardless of where it starts, like is the human being, you know, on a certain level, like just where it all ends on like a certain archetype, and we all kind of fall along with these certain archetypes. I mean, there's animals and there's insects and stuff like that, but like when you get the higher consciousness, it's like, well, I don't know, it's like a human form, like the ultimate, you know, in terms of like a form.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm about to say something in a minute, but I got one more category.
Sure.
Reptilians.
I think third dimension.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And I definitely believe that there's definitely 100%, never 100%. I think there's definitely, I would say a good 65 to 75% that I would be leaning toward the idea that they walk, that some form of alien walks among us, works with us, and blends in, and we won't even know it.
I think there's a whole bunch of them, to be honest with you. Yeah. Way more than just one kind.
I would think. I don't know, of course.
But like that thing that I want to kind of go back like real quick to the whole concept of the bugs and the animals and the humans.
Yeah.
I read online recently, you know, in that ever deep pool of wisdom that is Facebook. I'm in this metaphysical group.
That's where I get all my spiritual knowledge from.
Yeah, Facebook. No, somebody had this interesting idea, and I kind of want to bring it up. It kind of makes sense here. Where a bug, being a lower vibration being, right, kind of gets some ideas, vibrates a little faster, comes back as a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
The mouse lives a mouse life for, well, until it vibrates a little faster, comes back as a dog or a cat.
Yeah,
eventually you ascend to human.
Yeah.
And then from human you go to where you are. But like, and I mean, it kind of makes sense on that, but it's all within the third dimension though.
It's kind of like you're like working with the earth element throughout the evolutions of your spirit.
Yeah.
Going from different classes to different classes. And then you maybe go to...
And then from human, you go
different
to...
Different other type of element or different plane or this and that, all these things. Yeah.
It's a completely different plane beyond the third dimension.
Yeah.
But like, it's like you have to like work your way up from these various beings. You have to, as like an insect, you have to vibrate faster, which means you need a higher consciousness. And like, arguably, what is a higher consciousness to an insect? Like...
Yeah. That's what I believe. That's what I would think, is that you would, you know, evolve along those lines, maybe from like crystal, insect, animal, humans, you know, et cetera, and then a different plane. Even if you're into Rosicrucianism or the mystical Christianity branch of Rosicrucianism or the Rosicrucian Fellowship started by Max Heindel in his book, Rosicrucian Cosmic Conception, which I really like to get into in the future. One of the best books I've ever read. In his conceptualization of the universe from that mystic, he talks about how, you know, the different there's different categories of life, like the crystals and the group spirits of the crystals and the group spirits of the animals and the group spirits of how you eventually individuate that group spirit to an individual spirit known as the human being and the evolution of consciousness and where we're going and this and that. It just makes a lot of sense. I definitely believe what lean toward what you're saying. Like those different go from different grades.
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting idea.
And like also like say if you go to a higher plane, you become less limited, and like a lower plane become more limited, just in general. You have to deal with a lot more. And then like you have like the limitless, which would be like maybe first emanation of God and Kabbalah, or like you know, it just kind of all kind of fits together in a certain sense of a construct of, you know, the universe, or not the universe, but the multiverse.
You go back to, I mean, it sort of works within that theory. Like, you have these, you know, these lesser beings that vibrate faster and become a higher being and higher being and higher beings. Like,
until it's absorbed back in the source, which is the ultimate.
What's a higher state of consciousness for an insect? Like, maybe it had a moment of sentience, like, a moment of emotion that we can't comprehend, because their emotions aren't complicated like a human's emotions are, but they are able to understand the concept of contentness and pleasure in a way. Not maybe not necessarily with the serotonin levels a human does, but they do understand comfort. They understand fear, you know, they understand not wanting to die, you know. So you go from a thing that lives 30 days to a year. I mean, some bugs live. I mean, there are female tarantulas live for 30 plus years, or whatever. But like, you kind of go up into these higher things, these greater sentience, and then you experience something like what you would see in like the Book of Enoch, where Enoch dies and becomes Metatron and moves to that plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He becomes one with God and was no more. That's what they say. It's a fascinating story too. Yeah, it's part of living in limbo, you know? We're pretty much living in limbo here.
It's like a weird purgatory.
Yeah, like we're in the middle of nowhere, you know? Like, language is a limitation.
We're on this rock
in the middle of nowhere, flying through the middle of nowhere.
Revolving around a ball of fire that's moving through a universe that's ever expanding into vast nothingness. It's eventually going to collapse on itself.
Yep. Yeah, the great inhalation and the great exhalation. You know, it's all so weird, you know, and we have no direct answer to anything. There's a billion different theories, and they all operate off of archetypes. And then there's wisdom, and there's like various different levels of trying to understand things. And and that's why there's so many wars and divisions and this and that. We're just so limited here. We don't have the consciousness necessary to end all that kind of strife and craziness. Like, everyone's losing their mind because we just don't know what's going on, period, at all. And it's scary to even start to think for yourself. And, you know, after you've been programmed by society a certain way, because you start to learn that everything you learn is seemingly false. And you've been living in this lie and layers and layers of illusions. And you have to slowly unravel that over time. It's a really painful process. And then it's like, well, what's going on here? If you're like really real with yourself and you really dig into a lot of the things you believe in, it's like you ultimately start to unravel the fallacies behind them. And it's like, you start to not be able to place your grounding anywhere too safely, because everything that you used to have your mind planted in, you know, it's just like now it's becoming uprooted. And it's just like it's really wild out here. It's really wild out here.
How many people's days do you think we just made? They're just sitting there going, "I'm gonna die and become extraterrestrial," and now they're like in a corner of their house celebrating, like.
Yeah.
If you are, write to us at mystery.stun.podcast@gmail.com.
Tell us
how happy that made you, because that'd be awesome.
It's like, listen, you know, up your vibe, as the woke people say nowadays, up your vibe, up your frequency, and ascend. You know, that's it. Because you don't want to come back here. You want to escape the cycle of samsara.
Apparently they do want to come back here, because they do every once and again, and we get to see them in like weird cigar shaped ships and spheres and stuff. Like,
yeah, hopefully this helps us get out of this hellhole. I don't know. Depends where you're at.
Maybe it's like maybe they come back here as sort of like their own like religious enlightenment, as like a reminder of where they came from, huh?
Yeah, maybe it could be. Yeah, or maybe it's like, maybe they had the ability to travel into the quote unquote past.
They'd take their children, you know, like we move to the next plane, we become the child of somebody else within that plane who guides us, maybe.
Or say maybe there's like,
and it's like an educational experience. Maybe. Like, we're going to show you where you came from. Like, this is the basis. Like,
or say source is like eternity and there's no time, there's no nothing, period. And then you have like the emanations of like the higher planes, and then like the higher planes, like the speed of light is like normal or whatever. And like, you are light, and then you go lower and then you become like a force, and it becomes has the illusion of separation, where you have like, just forces of mind, and the forces of mind, you know, which are the ascended states, you know, it goes denser and denser and denser, lower vibration all the way down to the like material realm. And then it goes more material than this. And I forget where the heck I was going with all this, man. I swear it was good.
I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense in a way.
I was gonna say, like, say, like eternity. There's no time. There's no nothing. And then, like, the highest emanations. It's so fast that time, compared to where time is here, isn't even considered necessarily time. But it's so fast and so rapid to the point where down here, where it's a lag. See, like, we're like a lag in eternity. I think I've written something like on my personal Instagram. I had a writing about this involved. Like, is this like a lag in eternity?
So we're on like that 56K and they got 5G.
Yeah, and they got 5G. Like, we're catching up, but in the ultimate, like, we're behind, and we're kind of like the shadow. We're kind of like the shadow behind the object, behind the light. And maybe like the object would be like the higher frequency, the light would be source, and we're the shadow, and we're kind of like we're kind of catching up, you know, we're kind of catching up in the evolutionary spectrum, and maybe these UFOs could be these higher vibrational frequency plane entities as time traveling machine, where that time traveling machine can lessen their vibration, and in lessening the vibration, maybe they're entering the quote unquote past. And we are the past.
Mm.
And maybe it's just all some type of experiment or fun for them. I don't know. I mean, this can get real crazy, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, as long as it has some type of sense, no matter how abstract, then it's worth looking at.
There's so many different things that would make sense along that way.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. It really is. And the more you think about this stuff, it's like the more you need to start taking meds. But yeah, and I guess another thing I wanted to talk about is, like, and this is a subject we're going to be speaking about in the future, which I'm really excited for, is I used to have this spiritual group in high school, even beyond high school, that came to me, and it's still kind of prominent in my own personal life. It's not a huge group anymore. It's not really a group whatsoever, but it's more of a personal thing. But I used to have a group in high school called KP, and it was kind of a cult-related deal. It was a spiritual group at its core, and it dealt with... We'll get into later on, but during the time I was in KP, or I was leading KP, or we had that group, there's so many times where, and this will all make sense if you guys hear the future episode on this topic, but there's so many times where we were outside, you know, hanging out as a collective, within our groups or whatever, of just KP members along those lines, and, We were in altered states, and like I said, we'll get into that stuff later. And there's so many times where we swore that we saw UFOs all the time, and we would get so freaked out by this stuff because in certain, like, we would see these, like, certain weird flashing lights in the sky, then they would just be gone, and or certain crafts in the air, and they would be gone, but they're at a distance. So it's like these are a lot lesser in validation than that one I had spoken about when we saw it with my mom, the cigar shaped one. That one was the highlight of my life in terms of UFO activity. But there's a lot of weird activity with that group I was in too, dealing with UFOs. And it almost seemed that it was as if they were like alongside of us with the group or with the movement or with this, I don't know. It was very, very, very strange. It was very strange. It happened so many times, maybe a good 20 times, to the point where we started like having fun with the idea of like creating like a landing pad for these things to come in, communicate with us. And yeah, it got really weird, you know, with that group in terms of it wasn't alien based whatsoever. It was just kind of like a byproduct that started to happen. And
we do need to talk about though, is alien based spirituality.
That's gonna be another one too. Mm-hmm. So many topics. We keep saying, "Oh, we're talking about. We're gonna talk about that." So these are gonna be topics we do plan on speaking about. So it's like, sorry about the repetition, but yeah, just to give you guys a heads up as what's come. But yeah, aside from that, man, it's a lot of weird ideas out there. A lot of weird theories. You know, at the end of the day, reality is as weird as it can get when you really look into it. So, you know, any idea is as good as the next. Like I was saying, like, no matter how abstract the idea might be, as long as there's some type of logic and structure and something that could be applied, or something that has its correlation in the physical realm, as above, so below, you know, law of analogy, you find things that are unknown by based off the patterns of things that are known, and utilizing that type of mentality, you know, I think it's the most constructive way to attempt to understand that which is beyond our comprehension, at least at this current state of time. So at the end of the day, you know, I definitely believe there are extraterrestrial beings, and I definitely lean toward the idea that they are visiting here, that they are here, they have always been here, and maybe just we're their lesser cousins or siblings, and they're trying to aid in our growth. Or maybe they're trying to hinder it. Who knows? But yeah, that's, I don't know. That's my final go with that. I think it's definitely
That's a pretty good spot to leave off too. Yeah. Tell us what you guys think. Hit us up at mystery.stonepodcast@gmail.com. It's the same for Instagram. Mike has his personal Instagram.
Yep, Instagram. If you have any questions, any concerns, any this and that, anything to add, any experiences you want to share, anything, just whatever. Instagram as well, as usual, mystery.stone.podcast, or you can message me personally on my personal Instagram, omniscient.void.
Now you're thought, Mike.
Yeah, I'm thought. Yo, climb in the corner, man. What's up? Yeah,
we have our Facebook group. Feel free to interact with us there, and you can follow us on Twitter at BaronLandStew. Well, I mean, that's me specifically. Mike does Instagram. I do Twitter.
Yeah,
we all at BaronLandStew. Right? You'll see it's a CJ Beardless Boy Wonder.
love that.
Yeah, and then hit us up and tell your friends about us. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, Podchaser, and then come hang out with us at the Cast Junkie Discord server.
Once more, like I always say, thank you guys so much for your time, from the bottom of my essence, from the bottom of my being. I really do appreciate all the time you guys have given us, whether it's little or a lot. Thanks for your continued devotion or just anything in general. And we hope to see you guys on the next episode.
Blessed be.
Take care, guys.